Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
You know, there's a difference between the kind of ground that you plant seed in. You can take a perfectly good seed and plant it in good ground, and that thing will produce a harvest. Me and my daughter, Bella, we used to grow peppers for my dad because he loves hot things. And so we would grow peppers for him and send them to him. And, what you got to do in Florida anyway, you got to get a nice area to plant those things. You got to go buy the $7 bag of dirt from Home Depot, you know, and you got to have good ground and you put the seeds in there. When you put seeds in good ground, it brings a harvest. You get peppers or you get whatever you planted. But the interesting thing is if you were to take that same seed and you were to plant it in ground that's not good ground, or it's maybe not been broken up, it's hard ground, it's been packed down, it's got rocks or stones or all kinds of stuff in it, you're not going to get the harvest that you would had you planted in good ground. And, you know, that's why one of the things I pray all the time for myself and over all of us is that we are good ground. We are good ground. Like, our hearts are good ground for the word of God to go into our lives. And Jesus said it would produce in our lives 30, 60, and 100 fold. This is a freebie today. It's not part of the message. So I believe we are good ground in this place today. We've been talking the last several weeks on this whole idea of living with open hands. And I've been challenging you to take an hour or an afternoon or an entire day to go throughout your day and live with your hands closed. Has anybody done that? Power to the people right there, see? It's interesting what happens when you try to go throughout your day living with closed hands. What you're able to do, you'll find that it's very difficult to do a lot of the things that we do on a regular basis. Try to tie your shoes with your hands closed. It's going to be difficult. But what's interesting is that the moment we open up our hands and begin to live the rest of our day with open hands, our capacity is exponentially multiplied of what we're able to do. Our capacity increases when we live with open hands. And so, man, I felt so strong in the season that that's what God was speaking to his church, that if we would begin to live our lives, every area of our lives with open hands, man, we would see exponential increase in our lives and what we're able to do because of that principle applies. Open hands equals exponential increase of ability and capability. It's just so easy sometimes to slip into a closed-handed way of living. And so we've been talking each and every week about different areas of our lives where we can slip into a closed-handed way of living, and whether it's in the way we dream, dreaming small dreams instead of dreaming big dreams and taking big steps of faith. We talked about that, about in the area of forgiveness and so many other areas. And if you missed any of the weeks, I encourage you to get on our website. There's a link to the podcast, or you can subscribe on our YouTube channel that way and get caught up. I believe it's a word in season for us of getting our lives more loosening the grip and open-handed way of living. And I believe it produces in our lives. So today, the word of the Lord is living for eternity. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm living for eternity. Living for eternity. How many of y'all know eternity lasts for forever? There's no end to eternity. That's sometimes difficult for us as people to understand or really grasp that concept, because everything that we've experienced thus far in this life is finite or has an end. There's an ending to it. Sometimes we experience things that feel like they have no end. You know, like when I was in college and that one professor just keeps going on and on, and you're like, Lord, please let this end. You know, that's one of the things. Even I've been in those types of churches before. You're like, is this over already? Thankfully, it's not this one. We work hard. Like, it's like, it's over already, instead of, man, when is this over? Right? Sometimes it's our perception of time. Maybe it's being stuck in traffic. Like, when will I get out of here? Or maybe it's that long afternoon, you know, at work, and you didn't have enough coffee that day, and it seems like it should be 5 o'clock, but it's 1:30. Anybody ever had one of those? That's no fun. You're like, oh, it's time to go home. No, I've got 3.5 hours to go. Sometimes, you know, we experience time in different ways and how we perceive it, but the reality is everything that we experience in this life has a finiteness to it, has an ending to it. But eternity is different. Eternity lasts for forever. And so what we have to understand is kind of get a different view of what eternity is. And that I believe that God has actually put inside of every person this longing for eternity. We're hardwired, if you will, for eternity, to be with God, to be in his presence, to know him, where he created us with this innate thing inside of every person, with this longing to be with him, this longing to know who he is, to seek him out and to find him. This is how we were made. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to start today. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there. If you've got the free YouVersion Bible app, you can get your phone or your tablet out, and I'll be able to see your shining face with the glow there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about this longing that's inside of each and every one to be with the Lord. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the church, to people who believe in Jesus, and he says this. He says in verse 1, "For we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed." Now, Paul's not suggesting that we all live in a tent for the rest of our life. If you like to go camping, that's great. He's not saying if your tent burnt down to the ground. He's talking about our bodies. He's saying this body that we live in, he's saying if our earthly body is destroyed, or in other words, one day our body will die. If our bodies die, that's not the end. Thank you for that one overwhelming amen, right? We are a three-part being, okay? So our body is not the real us. It's just a vessel we're living in. So you are a spirit. That is the real you. You have a soul. That is your mind, your feelings, your emotions, and you live in a body, in a physical body for now. But we are a three-part being. So Paul is telling us is that when the physical body dies, he says, we know we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So he's just giving us this picture that we're going to go, we're going to have a heavenly body one day that will be in that place. We're not just going to be like mist floating in the air somewhere. We have a physical, a heavenly body that we will have in heaven. And he says, meanwhile, while we're on this earth, we groan. We're longing to be clothed instead with that heavenly dwelling. So he's describing that thing inside of us, this dwelling, this yearning to be with God in heaven. Paul wrote about it in another place, and he said, it's actually better for me to be in heaven, but it's better for you for me to be here. So he was like, I'm torn. I want to be there, but I want to be with you. There's this longing inside of him to be with him, because we understand for people that believe in Jesus, like to be in the presence of Jesus, to be in heaven, like, man, that's the goal. That's the thing we're looking forward to. That's the hope of glory right there that we'll all step into one day. And so there's this like struggle between, man, I want to be here, but I want to be there with my creator, with my father. And we're created with the sense to know God. That's one of the reasons we exist at church. One of our four core values is to help people to know God. Because without that, nothing else matters. We want to help people know God, to find freedom in their lives, to discover God's purpose for their lives so that they can make a difference. But you can't do any of the rest of that if you don't know God. So we were created by God, for God, and to bring glory to God. Like, we were created for him. But the reality is that on our time on this earth, this struggle exists, this groaning and this waiting. And one day, we'll move from this life to eternity. Our physical body will die, and we'll make that transition into eternity. And for people who believe in Jesus, who've made Jesus their Savior, they'll be instantly in the presence of the Lord in heaven with him forever, for eternity. And those that don't, that chose not to know him, will be eternally separated from God in hell. That's the reality of what we understand of what eternity is. It's either with God in his presence forever or separated from God forever. It's one of the two. There's no other option. So with this understanding, what we have to realize is that what we do today, what we do right now, is directly affecting what's happening for us in eternity. We have a role to play. We have a decision to make that's going to affect eternity for us. What we're doing today, what we're doing right now, is affecting eternity. We're living for eternity. The problem is that so many people spend the majority of their time, their efforts, their resources, and everything that they have living for everything else. Living for temporary things, living to accomplish things that won't last, that'll be destroyed, that'll burn up, and won't go into eternity with them. Many people live for things that only have monetary value. But can I tell you, there's things that are more valuable than money. It's good. It's good. There are things more valuable than money. But in our Western culture, it's pushed on us so heavily, right? Pursue the American dream. Work hard. Get the pension. Get all these things. Get the career. Get the promotion. Do whatever you got to do to get the 2.5 kids and the big corner lot in the house and, you know, and get the vacation beach house and all these things. And the truth is, none of those things in and of themselves are wrong or bad. It's not wrong to want those things or to get those things. None of that is wrong. What we have to realize is that we just weren't created for all of those things. We were created for God, by God, and to bring him glory. And God brings all those things our way to bless us because he loves us, because he knows what we need, but he doesn't bring them so that we can spend our lives chasing them down and getting them at any cost. It's good for us. So we're understanding, like, we're living for eternal. We're living with an eternal perspective, but we got to still be earthly good. We still need to be accomplishing things on this earth because the Bible is clear that one day we will stand before the Lord and give an account for everything that we've done. So as eternally minded as we think in terms of eternity. How is this going to affect eternity? But we also have to realize, like, I've got some things I've got to do while I'm here because I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I'm going to answer for everything that I've done here on this earth. And what scripture says is that everything that I've done will pass through the fire to see what remains. So he's given us the picture that God is determining that there are things that we do that won't pass through the fire, things that he views that aren't valuable uses of our time, energies, and resources. And there are things that are. So there are things that will remain and there are things that aren't. We'll be judged for each and every one of those things. So if that's the case, then I can spend my life on things that God deems worthless, or I can spend my life on things that God deems valuable and important, that are priority to him. It's good news for us. It's because it's providing us the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of people around us. Like when we decide to spend our lives this way, to live for eternity, live for eternal things, it's good news because, man, we're making a difference. It's changing things. And the choices in our lives are going to determine if our lives produce things that are valuable or things that are worthless. It's like this rope that I brought with me today. I brought this rope, and this rope represents your life. Okay, we're just going to pretend this morning. And our lives go on and on and on and on. And it's really long sometimes, sometimes longer than others. And it keeps going on and on. But what we have to realize about our lives, as long as our life is, and this is pretty long, is that this part right here is the part that represents our time on earth. But so many people live with only this in view, as if this is the only part of life that there ever is. But the reality is that our life doesn't end when we leave this earth, that life goes on, and it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. It keeps going, keeps going, and there I got a tangle. And that even tangles in life keep coming, right? It keeps going and going. But, man, we live like sometimes like this is the only part of life, and life is so much longer. And the truth is we don't even know where in this stretch we are. Because we are only a promise today. We're not promised tomorrow. And sometimes we think we're here and we don't know if we're here. Sometimes we feel like we're here. And we, but we don't know where in this we are. Let's see it in the word. James chapter 4, verse 14. He says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I don't know if any of y'all saw the fog out there this morning. But it was there just for a little while, and then the sun comes out. Man, it's gone. You can't even tell it was there before. It's the kind of the picture that he's given us. That our time on this earth is just so short. It's just a moment, and yet so often so many people spend their whole existence on this earth as if that's the only thing that matters, not realizing that there's so much more ahead of them, that eternity lasts forever, and we've got to focus more on living for things that are going to be with us in this place rather than just a thing that's going to be here for just a little while. So it's not wrong for us to accomplish things and accumulate things, but we just have to recognize, like, my goal is not to store up everything here because I'm only here for a little while. I'm going to be there forever. So my goal should be to store up more there than there is just here. It's living for eternity. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. If you've been around for a little while, if you're new, I love the version, the Passion Translation. Normally I read from the NIV, but today I'm reading from the Passion. I love that translation of the Bible. And honestly, I love reading from different translations because it just kind of gives us a different view, a different perspective of Scripture. I'm so thankful for the different translations. But it says this. It says, this is why we're full of courage. Even while we're at home in the body, we're homesick to be with the Master. So again, he's given us this picture, this struggle, the hardwired thing in us. Like, we want to be with the Lord, but we want to be here too. There's a struggle going on there. He says, for we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. So we live with a joyful confidence, yet at the same time, we take delight in the thought of leaving our bodies behind to be at home with the Lord. Now that's interesting. I wonder when the last time we delighted in the thought of, well, I'm going to die one day and then be with the Lord. It's kind of an odd thought, but here he's telling us, like, we live with great courage. We take delight in the thought of, man, one day we're going to leave this place and be with the Lord. And it's interesting because, man, we see death as such an ending thing, but really it's not. Right? Because remember, we're a three-part being. So no one would say that this glove was my hand. Right? This is just a glove. This is my hand. But what I can do is I can take my hand and I can do lots of things with it. When I put this glove on, you can't see my hand anymore. You see the glove. But does that mean my hand's not real? Nope, my hand still works. I can actually do some things with this glove now. But see, the moment that I take this glove off, my hand just slips right out of there. And now the glove is laying there lifeless. This is what it's like with us. The moment that we die, our spirit slips out of our body. Our spirit continues on. My hand still exists without the glove. And people see the body laying there and they think, that's the end. It's over. There's nothing else. This must be what it is. No. That's why Scripture says we don't sorrow like the world sorrows, like people with no hope. So it's okay for us to grieve and to sorrow and to cry. But we do it in a different way because we know, because our hope is in Christ, that we're going to see them again. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul wrote about this, 1 Corinthians 7, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he goes on and he says this. He says, so whether we live or die, we make it our life's passion. I love that phrase. We make it our life's passion. What is your life's passion? Here Paul's saying, we make it our life's passion. Almost this, as if we have to do it deliberately. We have to purposely make our life's passion something. He says, we make our life's passion to live our lives to gain wealth. Y'all gonna let me get away with that? You just gotta be on your toes. I gotta make sure you're listening. He says, we make it our life's passion to live our lives to be liked by everyone, to feel successful, so that everyone thinks I have the right opinion all the time, so that I blend into culture, so that no one gets offended at me, so I'm never too controversial, so that I always look good, so that I always... No. No, he says, we make it our life's passion to live our lives to be pleasing to him. Man, just let that sink in for a moment. We live our lives, our passion even, nothing else matters but being pleasing to my Heavenly Father. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what. No, my passion is to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. What if we began to live that way? Man, it would revolutionize our lives. He says, for one day, we will all be openly revealed before Christ on his throne. Many of us think that we're hiding a lot of stuff. The day is coming when everything will be openly revealed. He says, so each of us will duly be compensated for our actions done in this life, whether good or worthless. So the question for us is, are we preparing for eternity? Are we ready? Are we living in such a way that when our lives are evaluated, that we will have lived a life that is not worthless, that is valuable, that is accomplished much? Many people elaborately plan out their lives on this earth. They plan where they're going to go to college, and they're going to plan their careers. Many people plan their kids' careers, and we plan out, our retirements. People spend their whole lives planning out their retirements. They plan out their birthday parties and their vacations, and all that's good. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. We need to plan stuff. We need to plan. There's value in planning. In fact, well, there's wisdom in making plans. But in all of our planning, we can't make those plans more important than planning for eternity, because that's the most important. The most important thing is being prepared and planned for eternity. So when we add all of our life's accomplishments together, all of our existence, all of our days, all the possessions, all the accomplishments, everything that we pursued, if we didn't do it for the glory of God and what He called us to, then all of that is gone and wasted when we leave this earth. It won't go into eternity. The only things that are going to go with us into eternity are the things that God called us to do, where we were obedient, where we went where He told us to go, where we did what He told us to do, where we served what He told us to serve, when we gave what He told us to give. When we live our lives for Him, man, those things go forward with us into eternity, right? So what we need to understand is this, is that life is about the things we do on this earth for God and how we impact people with the love of God. Let me say that one more time. Life on this earth is about how we live for God and how we impact people with the love of God. That's what this life is about. So how do we live for eternity? It's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. I got two keys for us today, two simple keys in living for eternity. If you're taking notes, you can write these down today. The first one is this. If we're going to live for eternity, number one, we need to live our lives for God. We got to live for God, because the truth is we can live for anything. I know people who live for their hobbies, and you better not interrupt them. You better not get in the way of them, because they are going to live for those things. I'm sure we've all heard it. Man, I live for this thing. Wow, I'm just saying, we have the opportunity to live for the King of Kings, the creator and the possessor of heaven and earth, the redeemer of mankind. Like, we have an opportunity to live for those, to live for Him. And so when people come to me and they're like, well, that's just legalism. You want me to, like, no, I think it's legalism. You want me to come and bow down to your thing. I'm only bowing down to the creator of heaven and earth, to the one true God. Like, we're going to live for God. So, and oftentimes when we say that, I'm going to live for God, sometimes people start thinking, well, does that mean I got to come and I can only do spiritual things? No, it's not about just becoming a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or a worship leader or a kids pastor. Like, all those things are good. And actually, I believe that there's people in this church who are called to do those things, and God is going to raise people up in this church to do those things. And I believe there's kids that are being called and raised up to do those things. But it's not about just becoming those things or becoming something else or becoming more spiritual or becoming a better person. No, actually living for God means knowing Him in a personal way. I always say it this way, is that Christianity is not a rules to check, you know, it's not a spiritual checkbox to make sure you got all your warm fuzzies in for the day. No, Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have that, you got nothing. It's living for God. It's knowing Him. We're made to know Him. Like, we've got to start there. If we aren't spending time just knowing Him, just being in His presence, man, we need to reevaluate everything that we're doing. Like, it's just being with Him, knowing who God is. I love the picture that we see of God's first interaction with humankind was Him walking in the garden with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. It's beautiful. Man, God wants to know you. He wants to have relationship with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to talk about the good and the bad and the hurting and the things that are just funny sometimes, you know? Like, God wants to know us in personal ways. And it's such good news for us. And that's why that's one of the things I love about God, because anyone and everyone can know God. Regardless of your background, regardless of your history, regardless of your story, regardless of what you've been through, like, God wants to know you. He's interested in you. He's seeking you out. He's looking for you. He's got a spot for you at the table. He wants you to be part of the family. You're an insider, not an outsider. And God wants to know us in a personal way. And that's the good news. That's why we celebrate at Christmas, because God sent His only Son for us on a rescue mission so that there was a way that we could know Him. Because without Jesus, before Jesus, the only way we could even experience God, not even know Him, was through the sacrifice of an animal, the blood of an animal. And there was still a barrier between us and God. But when Jesus came, He was born as a person. He experienced life just like us, but He lived sinless. And when He died on the cross and was resurrected, he removed the barrier that existed between us and God. So he could say, I am the only way, the only truth, the only life. Anyone that comes to me will have life everlasting. That's the good news. That's living for eternity. That's living our lives for God. I love this. If we skip down a few verses in 2 Corinthians 5, we'll stay in that chapter for a few more verses. Verse 14, it says, for it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us. So if you find like you need some motivation to serve or to love people, you need to experience the love of Christ again. You need to experience him in a fresh way today. And I got good news. He's here to pour his love out on you today. It's his love. It's the love of Christ in us that fuels us. It's our passion and motivates us because we're absolutely convinced that he has given his life for just me. No, it says for all of us. For all of us. He's given his life for all of us. That's the good news. Man, that's why we get up. That's why we serve. That's why we love. That's why we forgive. That's why we're gracious. That's why we're merciful. That's why we freely forgive when others who don't deserve our forgiveness hurt us. Man, that's why we live with open hands because Christ has given his life for everyone. And for those who put their faith in him, we know, man, we're going to be with him forever in eternity. But there are people who will choose not to believe in Christ. And we know that sends them to eternity separated from God and hell. But this is why when we understand what Christ came to do, that he removed the barrier so that anyone and everyone could know God, then God is not sending people to hell. He's not sending people to hell that he's mad at. He's not sending people who messed up or fell short of. No, no, no. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's why Christ came and made a way. Hell is just a place people can go to pay their own sins, who want to believe what they want to believe and do their own thing. And you can do that if you want, but you just don't have to because Jesus paid it all. He made the way for those who would be bold enough to put their faith in him. So once we believe in Jesus, our lives look different. So how do our lives look? If this is true and God, Christ has given his life for us and his love motivates us, his love fuels us, then our lives look a little different. What does that look like? The next verse, he says, this means all died with him. So what he's saying here is that when we receive Christ, we no longer live for ourselves, that we, just like when we do baptism, we go into the water representing we have died with Christ, but then we come out of the water representing now we are now alive in Christ, right? So that's what he's given us the picture. This means all died with him so that those who are living in Christ, living for Christ, this is us, right? That those should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but we should live lives that are poured out for him. He's saying we've got to live for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. So if we're going to live for eternity, it starts by living our lives for God. Living our lives for him, not for anything else. Here's the second key. If we're going to live our lives for eternity, and that's this, is we're going to make a difference in the lives of people through the love of God. First, number one, we live for God. The second is we make a difference in the lives of people through the love of God. It's interesting, if you read the rest of 2 Corinthians 5, and I encourage you to do so, it begins to describe the process. Paul's kind of like pulling the curtains back, letting us see what's happening behind the scenes when we put our faith in Jesus, right? He says, you're being made brand new. You're a new creation. All the old is removed, and in a moment, you are new. You are brought into the family of God. You are born again. You are made a new creation, and it's an amazing process that happens in that moment. But as I look around, I see many faces that I know that have experienced that moment of transformation. And it's interesting to note that you're still here on this earth. When you were saved, you were not like sucked up to heaven. He left you here. When I was growing up, my mom loved watching Star Trek, The Next Generation. And we watched a new episode every week when it came out. And you know, on Star Trek, they have the transporter room, and you'd beam me up, Scotty, you know. That's a different series. Scotty wasn't in The Next Generation. I know, for all you Trekkies, it's forgive me. But he would beam me up, and then instantly you'd be like turned into particles and transported somewhere else or back to the ship or whatever. And sometimes, you know, as Christians act as if that happened. But it didn't. He left us here because he has an assignment for us. He has some work for us to do. He has a job for us. And it's interesting, in this passage, Paul is writing, giving us this behind-the-scenes look of what's happening. We're being made new. We're being born again. But then the very next thing he says is what our assignment is. It's verse 18. He says, "And God made all things new, and he reconciled us to himself. He made us righteous. He brought us back to himself." Here it is. "And he has given us the ministry of reconciling others to God." So in one moment he says, you're made brand new. The very next moment, now your job, go out and give the same process to anyone else you can find. Go help other people find Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into the highways and the byways and wherever you can find them and compel them to come in. Go and preach the gospel to all the world. Like, this is the mandate on the church and on every believer in Jesus, to go find the lost and help them be reconciled to God. Yes. It's the mandate on the church. That's why we say we don't exist for us. We exist for the lost. Yes. Man, that's why we have to be more focused on finding people who are broken, finding people who are hurting, finding people who are confused and mixed up, and not just be afraid of it. I mean, that's what I see when I see the empty seats. Because if we're honest for just a moment, when I look around, I see empty seats. And it's easy to be discouraged about it, right? But what if we just begin to look at things with an eternal perspective? This seat right here. I think about a drug addicted person that needs to be in this seat. In this seat right here, this is somebody's name, somebody's family that they're praying for. In this seat right here. Man, and this is what we're called to do. This is the mandate on us, to go and preach the gospel, to let the love of God that's inside of us, it's not meant to stay in us. It's meant to flow out of us. This is living for eternity. These are the things that will go with us into eternity. This is how our lives are meant to be poured out in the pursuit of God. Over these few weeks, we've been looking at Matthew 6 and the sermon that Jesus gave, one of his most famous sermons. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 6 and 7, verse 21, he says this. He says, "Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal." And it's so true. I don't know. So many ads and stuff these days, like the world is trying to sell us ways to protect all of the stuff that we've accumulated. Security, passwords, alarm systems, all this stuff. Is it monitored? Is it not monitored? All, you know, it's crazy. You got the video recorders on your doorbells now. That's crazy. We're trying to protect all this stuff, you know. And Jesus is saying, hey, it's okay to have that stuff, but just don't store up your most valuable stuff here, because stuff on this earth is going to deteriorate. Everything here is going to deteriorate. In fact, Scripture says the only thing that will remain on this earth is the Word, right? So he says, if that's true, then what's the alternative? Jesus says, instead, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin don't destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I wonder why Jesus is telling us to store up treasures in heaven and not just here on this earth. Could it be that if our treasure is where our heart is, that he's telling us to have our treasure be where he is because he wants our hearts? He's wanting to be close to us. He's wanting our heart. He's not after our stuff. He's after our hearts. He wants to know us. And here he's saying, hey, like, you have the choice. You can put all your valuables and everything in your life can be invested here. And then when you leave this place, it's going to stay because, you know, there's no hitch on a hearse for a U-Haul because you can't take it with you. You can send things on ahead. And that's what he's talking about here. If you store up everything here, it's staying, and it's going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. But we can live our lives in such a way that, man, we send treasure on ahead. Because when I was younger, I did not understand what Jesus was saying. And I thought, okay, somehow I got to figure out how to get from here to heaven and back again and take some stuff and take it up there. Like, this was my thinking. But the more I thought about it, I thought, huh, that's a one-way trip up there. So that's not how he's talking about. He's not talking about us physically leaving earth and going there and storing up treasures. No, it's in how we live. It's in the things that we value and the things that we spend our life and that we spend our resources and we spend our energies on are storing up treasures either in heaven or just on this earth. I don't know if you've ever been to the landfill there or the junkyard. We've got a few around. There's a couple of those car yards down, you know, just past Bithlow. There's a landfill over on Dean. I encourage you, go walk around sometime. Go walk around the junkyard, the landfill. What you'll see, I want you to take some notes as you're walking around. What you'll see is you'll see some junk there, some stuff, and you'll see some stuff over there that somebody lost their marriage for. And over there, somebody never got to know their kids over that stuff. And over here, someone never made time to be in church for that stuff. And over there, someone never made time to read their Bible or know God for that stuff. Over there, someone cheated on their spouse for that stuff. And over here, some, like, what you'll see is all that stuff is now junk. Is garbage. And the things that people worship and pursue is just one day going to be trash. It's going to be junk. Jesus is calling us to a different life, that life of what's the most important things. Living a life for eternity. You know, it's funny to see what the most important things in a person's life are. It's easy, actually. You want to know the secret to finding out what's the most important thing to a person? Anybody? Okay, I got a few that want to know. I'll tell you guys. Everybody else, cover your ears for a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. If you want to know what's the most important thing to a person, it's where do they spend their time and their money. So show me your checkbook and your calendar, and I'll tell you what's the most important thing in your life. It's just true. It's just truth. That's why we have to understand is that we have to be eternally minded, but still earthly good. So sometimes people get so wrapped up and trying to be more spiritual, and they get to be so spiritual that they're no good. They can't love anybody. They, you know, like, we've got to be earthly good while being heavenly minded, eternally minded. This is the life that God has called us to do, because there's just so many more important things than money in this life. There's people all around us. Paul said, be careful how you live. Don't live as the unwise do, just giving in to everything, but live as wise people. Live as wise people. So let's not just be people who get swept away by culture and every opinion that comes by, that we can no longer have what God's word says as the truth, as our compass. Now we just buy into everything. No, we gotta begin to live as wise people. Well, how does scripture define a wise person? Well, Proverbs says a person who wins souls is wise. A person who reconciles people to God is wise. Why? Because that's our assignment. That's what we've been left to do. So, man, it's being eternally minded and earthly good. We're living for eternity, living to love people in this life. I've had the opportunity to be with some people at the end of their life. And, you know, the interesting thing is that the end of a person's life, I've never heard someone say, man, I wish I had 10 more likes on my post of those tacos I got the other day. I wish I had more followers on my feed, or I wish I had bought that 5-bedroom house instead of that 3-bedroom house that I have. No, man, the questions people are always asking is, did my life matter? Did I make a difference? Where's my family? Where do I stand with God? What if we just didn't wait for that moment? Because we honestly don't know when that moment's coming. So what if we just begin to live every moment that way? Did my life count? Did I make a difference? How did I lead my family? And did I know God? What if we just begin to live that way? I tell you what, if you begin to live that way every day, when you get to the end of your life, you'll look back and you'll see all your accomplishments. You'll see all the stuff you've done and all the things you've accomplished. And none of that will matter so much. But you'll see all the people's lives that you influenced, the people that you excelled their life. And those things will go with you into eternity. So can we just all across the room today just bow our heads and close our eyes just across the room? I believe that, man, the Holy Spirit is here moving. Maybe you're feeling a stirring in your heart today. Man, that is the presence of God moving in your life. He's stirring you up. He's trying to wake you up a little bit to help you begin to see things in a different light, to begin to break your heart again for what breaks His. To not be okay with people being around you and not serving God, not being okay with people dying in our city and going to hell. Maybe you're here today and you're far from God. Maybe you're the one that never realized that God would love you. Maybe you felt like the outsider. God would never be interested in me. I'm not that good. Well, if that's how you feel, you're in good company, because the truth is none of us are that good. God's not looking for us to be that good. He's just looking for people who say, God, I need you. God, I want you in my life. I give you all of me. If you want my broken, messed up life, you can have it. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've never made that decision before. Maybe you've known Him in the past, but your heart got hard. You thought, I can do this better without Him, and you just drifted from Him. And today you're saying, God, I need you. I need you in my life. If that's you today, just right where you're seated in your seat, saying, Pastor, that's me. Will you pray for me today? Would you just lift your hands today? You say, that's me. I need to make that decision. Thank you. Right over here. Over there. Thank you. You can put those hands down. I want to pray for a second group of people today. Maybe you're here and that is you. Your heart is being stirred. Maybe you've been the one, you've been living for yourself or you've been living for other things. And today, man, the Holy Spirit is just stirring in your heart. And you're like, I need to begin to live for eternity. I need to become a little more focused on things that are going to last in this life. Wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, man, you're saying today, I need to make some changes. And I'm making a decision, a bold decision of faith to say, my life is going to count for eternity. My treasures are not just going to be here, but I'm going to begin laying up treasures in heaven and that are going to last. My life is not going to be worthless. If that's you today, you're saying, I'm making that bold decision of faith today that my life is going to count for eternity. You're saying, Pastor, will you pray for me? I just want you to, all across this room, if that's you today, would you lift up your hand saying, pray for me today. I want my life to count. Man, hands over here and back over there. Thank you for those. Thank you right over here. You can put those down today. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this place today. Decisions that are being made in this house, that we are going to be people that we are eternally minded. Our passion and our pursuit is to know you, God, to live our lives to please you. So God, I thank you that in this place today, that there's no shame, that there's no condemnation, that there's love, acceptance, and forgiveness in your presence, God, and it's here and available in this place today. So I thank you, God, for flooding your people, flooding every heart, flooding every mind right now. Lord God, I pray right now you're giving us courage, you're giving us strength. God, I thank you that you're filling us with your love, and that it's your love that would fuel us today and tomorrow and every day. It's your love that drives us and motivates us to live for you, to share the gospel with those around us, to let our lives be rivers of your goodness to those around us. And I thank you, Lord God, that even this week, even today, you would bring people across our path, Lord God, that we could show your love to. God, I thank you that you're expanding us. You're expanding our hearts today, Lord God, to love those that we've, maybe previously there's maybe people that we haven't loved. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's just people who live a different lifestyle or live a different way, or people we don't agree with or have different theology or whatever. And today, man, God is expanding your heart to love. So God, expand us. Expand our hearts that your love would flow in us and flow out of us, because we know, Lord, it is your goodness that draws people to repentance. So God, we just pray, if you're sitting next to an empty seat, would you just reach over and put your hands on it? Because you're anointed. Let's just begin to pray. Begin to stir yourself up. Begin to stir your spirit up. If you can pray in the spirit, begin to pray in the spirit. Begin to pray over people in the coming days and weeks who are going to be sitting in these seats. Lord, right now, we pray for every person, every seat that's here. Lord God, we pray for them right now, wherever they are, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would go arrest their hearts, Lord God, that you'd begin to draw them, Lord God. Use us, God. We say, here we are. Send us. Use us. Let us be the ones that share your goodness to other people, Lord God. And as they come into your house and churches all across our city. Lord God, let revival break out. Let the lost be found. Let the hurting be healed. Let the broken be mended. In Jesus' name, let your church shine. Let your church shine in the city, Lord God. So we thank you for it. We give you praise, Jesus, and we give you all the glory. Come on, churches, begin to lift a shout of praise to him if you believe it.